So asylum seeker policy back on the political agenda today in Canberra with news of a new lawsuit over the asylum boat that smashed onto rocks at Christmas Island in 2010. But also in internal political party movements, because there was an attempt within Labor to shift its approach in dealing with asylum seekers and abandon offshore processing, particularly in places like Manus Island. It didn't get up. In fact, it didn't really go anywhere at all. And I'm joined now by Labor's Shadow Minister for Immigration and Border Protection, Richard Marles. Richard Marles, thank you for your time. Why did this not even go to a vote?
Well, it did go to a vote. And there was clear support for the position of continuing offshore processing.
I don't want to spend much time on the technicalities, but I just want to clarify this, because all the reporting about it says there was no vote. There was no formal vote.
There absolutely was a vote, and the outcome of that was to support the policy that we've had in place now for some time, that we had in place at the end of the Rudd government, that we have in place now, which is to support offshore processing, and to do that from the position of needing to do everything we can to see an end to the tragic loss of life at sea. And you mentioned in your intro about a lawsuit in relation to the tragedy on Christmas Island in December 2010, which reminds us of that incident that really was a turning point in the whole debate around this issue in Australia. And we've got to make sure that that kind of event never happens again.
Okay, and I want to come to that lawsuit in a moment. If there was a vote, what were the numbers?
Well, it was a vote that was done on the show of the hands, and or on the voices, I should say. It was clearly in support of the position that we've now had for some time.
How clearly, though? I'm just trying to get a sense of where the caucus sits on it.
Look, I'm not going to go into the precise detail of it, Waleed. It wasn't close. This was a clear decision of the Labor caucus to continue its support for a policy which is saving lives at sea, a policy which is absolutely founded from a position of compassion. But I would want to say in relation to the debate that occurred within the caucus, it was done very respectfully, and I respect Lisa Park and Anna Burke. I know the place from which they come in relation to this, and they absolutely mean the best, and you know, they have very strong values about this issue, and I respect that.
Is the discontent over that policy, though, beginning to grow? Is there any question about the Labor Party's resolve on the issue of offshore processing, in a sense that perhaps it's adopted this because it was a political necessity, but its heart isn't necessarily in it in the way that it might be on, I don't know, say the abolition of work choices or something like that?
I'm glad you've asked that question, because I think it's really important to distinguish our actions in the context of politics and in the context of whether or not our heart is in it. The answer to the question is very clearly this. We believe in the necessity of offshore processing in order to save lives at sea. You know, that is a really important and compassionate objective. And we believe in that as fervently as we believe in anything. You know, this has been an appallingly difficult issue. And all too often, people interpret the decisions that we make on the basis of politics. The truth is that when you go through the experiences we have over the last few years of seeing over a period of 30 months, more than 1,200 people die, you cannot but be affected by that experience. And what moved us to take the very difficult decision of putting in place the regional resettlement arrangement last year was really, to use the words of Martin Luther King, experiencing a fierce urgency of now. A fierce urgency of now in stopping the loss of life at sea. And the steps that we took, as difficult as they were, have seen, we hope, an end to the loss of life at sea.
Okay, but that whole policy is based on deterrence.
Well, it's based on taking Australia off the table, and I think there is a difference in this, because we don't stand for a position of making people's lives as difficult as possible in order to deter them from coming to Australia. The fundamental step that we took last year was simply taking Australia off
the
table.
Okay, but what I've never understood about that is, if you're worried about the humanity of the conditions and the processing of asylum seekers, which you now say that you are worried about,
we are.
Why would taking Australia off the table but providing a humane and adequate alternative to Australia that provides asylum, why would that stop a single boat? Don't you actually need the alternative to be so bad that it stops people wanting to get on boats?
Well, that I don't think is right. And I've heard this argument on many occasions, and the argument essentially goes that, you know, conditions need to be worse than what persist in the source countries in order for people not to come to Australia. Of course,
but the alternative needs to be unacceptable. That's
well,
the point.
Well, my point I would make is that people have come through a whole lot of transit countries on the way, which are nowhere near as bad in many instances as the source countries from which people originated. But that didn't stop people going to the transit countries along the way.
No, but that's not my argument here. Okay, what I'm saying is if you're taking Australia off the table, you are providing an alternative. By definition, you need to make that alternative unacceptable if you're going to stop people getting on boats. Otherwise, if it's acceptable, then they will continue to get on boats.
Well, I don't accept that in terms of, I guess the question is how you measure the basis of acceptability. What is the baseline that you're measuring? But I guess the point, I'd put it in these terms, Waleed. We had a situation where the lure of Australia, if you like, the lure of Australia was seeing hundreds upon hundreds of people drown at sea.
Was it the lure of Australia or the lure of protection from persecution?
Well, I absolutely think it was the lure of Australia, because what you can do in a whole range of circumstances is provide people with safe refuge and provide people with protection. And of course, that needs to happen. I'd be the first to say that in relation to Reza Barati, safe refuge was not afforded to him. So I'm not standing here apologising for the conditions that Manus Island has found itself in. There is a lot of work that needs to be done there, and we have been very vocal in saying of the government that they simply have to raise the standards of that facility. But you can provide people with safe refuge without having the lure of Australia there, and the lure of Australia resulting in hundreds, more than 1,000 people dying. And so long as it's doing that, then we are not reducing the sum total of global misery through our humanitarian program. We're adding to it. And that's what we needed to remedy. And that's why we put in place the PNG arrangement last year. But in saying that, it's so important that Manus not operate as a hellhole, that it simply be a measure to take Australia off the table. It shouldn't be a place which seeks to make people's lives appalling. It should just be about taking Australia off the table. And what we know about the way in which Manus has run since this government came into power is that for 8 months there wasn't a single conversation between Minister Morrison and his counterpart in PNG around the question of resettlement and processing.
Okay.
Now, it's not surprising that in those circumstances, tension is going to build, and that's what Robert Cornell found as one of the, if not the key factor, which led to the events in February.
So let me just pick up Manus as an idea quickly. UNICEF Australia has called for an independent body to monitor the treatment of children, particularly in Australian immigration detention. They want them to publicly report on the situation. Do you agree with that? Would you commit Labor to regular public reporting on conditions?
Oh, well, I do think that there is a real problem with the level of transparency that we have seen around the way in which this government has operated in this area of policy.
So how about an independent monitor?
Well, obviously all of that needs to be done in the context of our relationship with PNG or with Nauru, but I do accept that there is a role for independent review of the government's own engagement within these facilities.
Let me come to the case that I mentioned today. The lawyer George Newhouse has put forward. He's arguing that the Commonwealth knew or should have known that there were vulnerable men and women on the high seas. This is with the Christmas Island tragedy, and that the government has failed in its duty of care by failing to keep its rescue vessel seaworthy. What's your response to this action?
Well, look, I wasn't the minister at the time, and I don't have all the details at hand. But I'd make this observation, my lead. Of the 41 people who survived that appalling incident on that night, 40 of them were rescued from rough seas off a rocky coastline by Australia's Navy and Customs personnel who put their own lives in danger in order to rescue people in those circumstances.
None of which George Newhouse is criticising.
Well, I think that is a fact when we're thinking about this action that people need to bear in mind.
Why is that relevant? He's saying that the Australian government didn't do its job because it didn't have rescue vessels that were seaworthy at the time when a ship entered into its waters, and it has an international and a legal obligation to do something about it. It's not at all to do with the personnel who bravely rescued these people. It's to do with the government and the circumstances, the operations around it.
Well, again, I don't have all the details at hand. I wasn't the minister at the time. No doubt this action will proceed as it does.
Do you accept that's a legitimate thing for them to be arguing in court about?
Well, I'm not in a position to make that judgment, not having those facts at hand myself. But I'm absolutely making the point, and your listeners should be aware, that it was the Australian government on that night, and it was people acting in the government's name, risking their own lives in the process, who saved 40 of the 41 people who were able to be saved in that circumstance. And I think that is a highly relevant matter in the context of this lawsuit.
Richard Miles, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Welling.
Shadow Minister of Immigration and Broader Protection, Richard Miles, speaking to us there. Waleed Ali with you for Drive, 0418 226 576.